Blog Talk Radio.
Presiding Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. You are listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom People. You already know what this is. This is the show that features the anointed and the appointed in God's kingdom. I am your host, Bishop Candidate Demel Elliott, and I am so excited about our segment on today. Are hymns still relevant in today's church? Listen, we're going to settle that question today. Amen. You need to text somebody, call somebody, let them know they need to get on KDFI radio right now. And we want you to call in and ask your questions, make your comments. That call in number is 516-387-1673. Again, that call-in number is 516-387-1673. Amen. Now, before we delve into the topic that so many of us want to talk about, we want to remind you that KDFI, where Bishop Derek Robinson is our international presiding bishop, is one of the fastest growing and most dynamic fellowships anywhere on the planet. That's just a fact. And we want you to be a part. So do this for us. Go to kdfi.net and see what this dynamic fellowship has to offer. That's kdfi.net. Well, we want to welcome our guest on today. We have Overseer Steve Yeager, Minister Samaria Haley, Bishop Jonathan Mitchell, and recording artist Nelly. Welcome to KDFI Radio.
Hey there.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to be here.
Amen. We're so grateful that all of you have joined us today. We are going to find out more about each and every one of you. We want to know where you're from and the name of your church. And then we are going to jump right in to our topic on today. And we're going to go right to Bishop Jonathan Mitchell. Let the people know where you're from.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I am from the great city, Dallas, Texas, via Grand Prairie. Proud pastor of the Life Center Church Reloaded, and I am just so happy to be back on KDFI Radio today.
Amen. We thank God for you, sir. Bishop Jonathan Mitchell has been here many times, and I'm sure he'll be back on many times. He is a friend of KDFI Radio. We appreciate you, sir. And we are going to go to Overseer Steve Yeager. Let the people know where you're from and where you serve.
All right. Well, it's a delight to be on here once again. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm from Hannibal, Missouri, pastoring churches here in the area, Straight Talk Ministries. And we're looking forward to delving into this topic and really exploring it in its endeavors.
Amen. Thank you, Overseer Steve Yeager, for being on again. Amen.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
We want to hear from, amen, we want to hear from Minister Samaria Haley. Let the people know where you're from and where you attend church.
Hello, everyone. My name is Samaria Haley. I attend church in Gastonia, North Carolina, and I was glad to be a part of y'all today.
All right. Amen. We're glad that you are here for the first time. And we have recording artist Nelly, we're so glad
hey there.
You're on today. Hey, let the people know
yes.
where you're from and what church you attend.
What an honor and a privilege to be here on this afternoon, this beautiful fall, crisp Sunday afternoon. I serve at Second Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio, where there is Bishop-elect Jerry Booth, and I am from Diocese Toledo, Ohio. Good, yes. Yes, so excited to be here.
Amen.
First time being on the show, so I'm excited.
And we're so excited to have you. And in a little while, we want you to tell us about your recording project, your album, when it's coming out. We are excited to have a bona fide recording artist on the show, so we want to hear about that a little later. Amen. But let's jump into the show. We want to find out, are hymns still relevant in today's church? And we don't want you to hold back. We need to settle this question, and we need to settle it today. So the first thing that we want to ask before we really delve into the meat of our question, if they're still relevant, let's first talk about what has hymns meant to the church? What has hymns meant to the church? So we're going to go to Bishop Mitchell. Talk to us a little bit about what you think, briefly, about what hymns have meant to the church.
Well, Bishop Kennedy Elliott, hymns for the church has meant much more than music. When we actually, just for a moment, I'll just briefly hit on the history of hymnology in Christendom. Hymns didn't just start when we became Baptist or Pentecostal, but it even dates back to over 2,000 millennia. And so we have to understand that hymns has always meant more than just music. It hadn't just been about singing, but hymns has been really representative of relationship. They were birthed out of experience. They were birthed out of really coming to know and have a relationship with God. So we often associate and misappropriate hymns just to be music. But hymns is meaning for the church. It's not just feel good singing, but hymns have always been essence and provided flavor and provided relevance to not just church as a whole, but what it really truly means to be a believer, what it truly means to have a relationship and an experience with God.
Amen. I love that. You kicked it off just right, that hymns aren't just music, but it is a reflection of our relationship with Christ. Amen. And as I ask that question, I kind of feel something rumble in my spirit. So I know we're going to get ready to start singing soon, because I feel that thing kind of rumbling in my spirit. But before we break out, we want to just get a little more of that discussion in about what have hymns meant to the church. Overseer Steve Yeager, talk to us a little bit. What have hymns meant to the church?
Well, you know, as I'm just going to add to Bishop, I can't take away, because he truly defined it accurately. But one of the other things that hymns has done and does for the church is it is not only for worship, but it's also to unite the congregation, to bring them together under the banner of the reason why we've come here today is to lift up Jesus, to lift up
his name. And so we do that through hymns, which can sometimes be just a simple phrase, or it can be a genuine emotion that comes out, or a poetic phrase, Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, are just a few of the older hymns. And in today's society, we're dealing with more contemporary songs, but even these songs bring us together to unite us as a congregation so that we understand who we're worshiping, why we're worshiping, and what's the purpose of that in the local assembly as we know it today.
Amen.
I'm pointing to you.
I know you don't want to give it up. He said, back to you. That's so good. But I love that unity, though, right? There's something about, and now somebody may disagree with me. Somebody may say, we can get that same unity from our worship songs. And I would not disagree with that. But Overseer Yeager, I like how you're saying this. It's something about that hymn that brings us together as a congregation, right, that provides that unity that you talked about.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's so, so important. And I tell you, what we need more and more of is unity in the body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But we won't get into
Amen.
That. That's another show. All right, so we're going to go to we're going to go to Minister Samaria Haley. Tell us, and I really want to hear now from you and from Nelly, a bit younger, maybe your views on, from the millennial generation perhaps, what have hymns meant to the church?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Well, our society is fixated on what's new and what's next. That is true. But the importance of hymns, they remind us that what's next is not always what's best. Yes, I'm young in the natural, but I've been told I have an old soul. I grew up, holiness is right, but I also grew, I'm a worshiper at heart, but I do believe that hymns carried us. It kept us, our ancestors, and I believe that hymns are very important to society, even as a millennial.
Amen. I like that. You said we're always looking for what's new and what's best. And that's so true. We've had some shows now about the church evolving and how do we minister to millennials? How do we keep millennials engaged? We're going to talk about that in a little while. It may be a little bit of a sticky topic, but we're going to get into a little bit later on. Can we attract millennials with those old hymns? Do they want to hear that? Or do we have to sing those contemporary songs in order to have millennials stay connected to the church? So we're going to get into that, but we want to go to Nelly. Nelly, talk to us a little bit. What do you think hymns have meant to the church?
Wow. I mean, what can I say? As a millennial and me looking back, growing up in the church in my entire life, growing up apostolic and holiness, my parents referred to it as the old landmark, I believe is what they refer it to. And it's, in my opinion and from my own experience, hymns in the church is a universal language in church, and it's particularly in Black churches, African-American churches. And I just feel like hymns can be, somewhat compared or, even labeled to as like the modern day Negro spiritual, if I may. I mean, hymns have stories behind them, the lyrics, just like a Negro spiritual does. Like, for example, Lift Every Voice and Sing is a well-known hymn, but the story behind it, behind the verses and refrain, speak volumes. And, to piggyback off of what Overseer Yeager says, it brings unity. We're singing about how we've, gotten through these times. And even Negro spirituals have biblical references, scriptures and Bible stories, just like a makeup of a hymn. So hymns are very important to the church. And what it means to the church is it's a stake. It's a pillar. I really don't know where we would be without them, honestly, and this is coming from a millennial, and just a snippet of how millennials and hymns are meeting, I personally exercise the use of hymns. Even in my own recording project, I've paid homage and tribute to the foundation and the stake of hymns in its proper space and in my own canvas of music. So I have a hymn on my project that I'm working on right now because I know the importance of what a hymn does. Now, there are even things that millennials, I don't know if anybody noticed but or know have seen, but I personally working with other millennials to bring hymns and millennials together because we're laying down the foundation of the hymns, every verse, all the verses, and then they take it and then they flip it and then they make it a new thing. And we're bringing those things together. So there are some millennials who are advocating to keep hymns alive just because of the importance, because we get it. It's a small group of us, but we get it. And we just wanted to let everyone know that yes, we're millennials, but some of us get it. And so we see the importance and the relevance of hymns, particularly in music in the Black church, for sure. Yes, very relevant.
Wow. Now, I have to say, you have surprised me. I did not expect to hear a millennial say we need to keep hymns alive. And the fact that on your own recording project that you are including a hymn, I tell you that is surprising. You said something interesting. I don't know where we would be if it were not for the hymns. And in all the churches, right, I do listen, especially the Black church, as you said, but I listen to services of all nationalities, and I hear hymns. And so I just love that you said, where would we be without it? That is so amazing. And so, of course, now, before we go to the next question, you all know what's coming up next. I want, for those of you who would desire to, I just want to hear a little piece of what your favorite hymn is. You don't have to sing all the verses, but we want to pay homage. Look, I guess we're going to pay homage before we ask if they're still relevant. But I want us to pay homage, so we're going to ask for just a little snippet of what your favorite hymn is. Bishop, you know I'm coming to you. I'm coming straight to you,
thank
sir.
You.
Can we hear a snippet of your favorite hymn?
This is a hymn I grew up on. My mother, I used to love her to sing, hear her sing this hymn, and she would simply sing, God sent his son, they called him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive, he lived and died just to buy my pardon. And
yes,
an empty grave is that it proves my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Because
yes, sir.
He lives, all
yes,
fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future. My life is worth living just because he lives.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Woo.
Yes, because. Woo! Amen. And as Nellie talked about, that's God's support through. Amen. Many, many, many trials that they've gone through, and they would hear that song. And I tell you, it would help us get over. Thank you, Bishop Mitchell. Amen. Minister Haley, can you give us a snippet of your favorite hymn, if you have one?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Well, one of my favorite hymns growing up, What Can Wash Away My Sins. That was my absolutely all-time favorite. It says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood
the blood of Jesus, singing, oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's my
favorite. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. That just makes me want to worship. Hallelujah. Nothing but the blood. Hey. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, listen, I'm going to say this. I'm going to try to keep myself together on this episode of KDFI Radio. But I tell you, if I just go out and start worshiping, can't take it no more, one of you take over, because I feel the need to worship, but I'm going to try to hold myself together. Oh, hallelujah. Overseer Yeager, I don't even know if you're a singer, but can you sing for us?
You are about to find out. You are about to find out. Listen, I leave the singing to the singers, but I'm gonna read these lyrics to you. Amazing grace,
yes.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have all already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I believe that tells the story.
Hallelujah. What is it about that song? What is it about that song? Amen. The lyrics are so simple, but they're so powerful. Mm-hmm. And they have endured year after year after year. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes,
I don't know if anybody just wants to take that. Can anyone just talk a minute about what is so powerful about such a simple song, Amazing Grace? Does anybody want to take that?
Can I chime in and
please,
and just say I'm glad you asked that question, because the thing I've loved about a good hymn, not just Amazing Grace, but any of those good hymns of the church, you know, we've gotten so big on the riff and the run these days, you know. If you're not riffing and running and speeding and scatting, you ain't singing in today's church. But those good old hymns, you know, one of those mothers who didn't have any type of vocal ability could just sing one of those good gut-busting hymns. You didn't need a riff. You didn't need a run. You didn't need any type of particular vocal ability. But it's just something about the context of those hymns that touched you. I've been in many of the services growing up. I've been in church all my life, doing church all my life. And, I've liked to always kind of consider myself as a universal type of preacher. You know, I'm borderline a millennial myself. I've always... to be universal.
That's a little reach there, you think? A little reach in there. But
I think it's a bit of a reach there, Bishop Mitchell, that you're a borderline millennial.
I can
do the modern worship stuff, but I've seen where you can break out one of those modern worship songs and nobody, it doesn't move a soul. But you reach back and you you start talking about there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinner plunge
yes.
to meet that flood, lose all their guilt and stain. You bust out at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden mm-hmm. of my heart rolled away. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. You start singing stuff like that, and it takes folk to a different place. It takes them to because what it causes you to do, it causes you to listen and to reflect. You know what? This was me. This is where I was. This is where I was.
Yes.
And this is where Jesus found me. I didn't find him, but this is where he found me. And because it causes me to reflect, again, as I said earlier, it causes me to think about this is more than that music, but this is talking to me about my experience, about my encounter. And when you talk about experience and encounter, it does not matter if it's 1921 or 2021. That experience and that counter, and I believe that's what the hymnist was talking about when he wrote, "Since I met Jesus, there's been a yearning, oh, such a yearning deep down within." And so when we think about that, it causes us to listen to more than just how it sounds. But it causes us to reflect on how it makes me feel. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get preachy.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to declare here and now, if Bishop Mitchell can be a millennial, so can I. Amen.
Well, now that is a stretch.
Oh, no, he didn't. All right, so we're going to go to Nelly. Nelly, will you sing for us one of your favorite hymns, a snippet of one of your favorite hymns?
Yes, of course. One, my aunt who just passed away in November 2020 due to COVID. She used to get up in the middle of testimony service, and she'll say, "When peace like a river attended my way, when the sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life thou hast told me to say, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul." Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 It's just whatever
hallelujah.
My lot, whatever God puts
thank
in front of
you,
whatever his death, whatever he has for me, it is well. Whatever you have brought me,
thank you, God.
It is well. His will is going to be done. Nevertheless, it is well. Being okay
hallelujah.
With God's decision, being okay with his will helps you cope with it. Because sometimes his will is not our will, and that's okay. But his will always outweigh our will. And so as a woman of God and as a woman of Christ, you have to be able to have that to fall back. That him helps me every day, because sometimes stuff don't go the way I want it to go. But I have to say, it is well. I'm okay, because it's his will for me. It is well with my soul. I trust God. I trust him with my soul. It is well. And I'll leave that right there.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hey, glory be to God. It is well. It is well with my soul. You know, I would love to bring Mother Barbara Adams in, if we could, for a moment. Mother Adams, are you there? Mother Adams, are you with us?
Yes, I'm on. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
praise
wonderful.
The Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Hallelujah.
I had to talk in the background, but God is good, isn't he? This is a beautiful topic.
God is
and,
awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
And me being a baby.
We're so glad that you're on.
Okay, during the time that I came through, amen, back in the 70s, we outlined to him, I'm old Baptist, amen, a charge to keep, I have, and a God to glorify, amen. And
yes.
Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help I know. And coming up, because I was a young girl, I didn't want to hear them talk that, him. But today I can appreciate, amen, the words of the deacons, amen. And as we came together in prayer meeting, praise God. And I love all music, praise, I'm musically inclined. And the young man that just sang Blessed Assurance, I was singing that this morning. And I thought about the old song. I don't know how old it is, but I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul is rejoiced. Take joy, my King, in what you and let it be a sweet, oh, a sweet sound in your ear. Then we go up an octave high. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, yeah. Oh, my soul, it rejoices. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, you hear, you hear, you hear it. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, oh, sweet sound. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Thank you for the privilege. God bless your overseer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Mother Adams. Hallelujah. We love you so, 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 so much. Amen. Check out, Mother Barbara Adams. Barbara Adams on Facebook. I want you to know that she went through a mighty, mighty trial of sickness, but even on her sickbed, she would be singing and preaching, and I tell you, it's just some of the most anointed preaching and singing I've heard. And so you want to go to Facebook and listen to and friend request her, Barbara Adams, and just listen to some of that preaching and teaching, and it shows you how to rejoice and to worship. Even through sickness. So we thank you, Mother Adams, and we love you. Amen. God bless
amen.
You.
Glory to God.
Amen. So I want to ask this. So we're saying about how hymns can take us to this place and bring us out of what we're going through and help us to get over. But let's talk a little bit about worship songs. Now, I don't want worship songs to get a bad rap. As though worship songs don't take us to certain places. So I want us to get into that. Are we saying that worship songs, modern-day worship songs, can't take us to that same place? Are we saying that modern-day worship songs don't have the same power? I want to find out if that's what we're saying on today. So let's dig into that just a little bit. And I'm going to go right to Minister Haley. Now, Minister Haley, I know you sang that beautiful hymn, but I want you to advocate for modern-day worship songs just for a moment and even talk about that or sing a little piece of a modern-day worship song for us. Minister Haley.
Yes, ma'am. I believe that modern day worship is just as important as the hymns. Now, like I stated earlier, I did grow up Pentecostal holiness. As it is true that the hymns were very substantial in our community, it's also important as a young worship leader, you know, that you are well-rounded, not just for the seasoned saints, but for the millennials as well. One of my favorite worship songs as a praise and worship leader is I Love You, Jesus, because I just love him with all of my heart, all of my soul. I love him because he first loved me. And it's just important that whatever song you are mentioning before the people that you, as I say, that you can be well-rounded and that you can reach every heart under the sound of your voice. It says, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus, yeah. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you how much I love you more than anything.
And, you know, the song can become personal. Your worship becomes more effective when you make the song more personal to you. And because I love God because he first loved me, it's just one of my favorite worship songs.
Hallelujah. Minister Haley, I'm sorry, can you just sing a little bit more of that for us? That was so good. Just a little more. Give us a little more.
Yes, ma'am. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you how much I love you. More than anything, 'cause Jesus went
to
Calvary to save wretch like you and me that is lost. Oh, that's love. Oh, he hung him high, he hung him high, and he stretched him wide that Thursday morning. For me, he died, that is love, that is love. I love Jesus.
I love Jesus,
yeah. I worship and adore you. This one, I love you more than anything.
Hallelujah. I love him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Amen. Just want to tell you, I love you. Now, you're not going to tell me that can't take you someplace. Hey, out of the trouble you're in and into the presence of God. I believe that we have heard the voice of our international presiding bishop, Bishop Derek Robinson. You're on KDFI Radio. Bless you, sir.
Well, God bless you all today. KDFI Radio, we're so excited. Oh, my God. Listen, my God, Evangelist Minister Haley, you certainly blessed us with that song. And I heard Mother Adams, amen, what a jewel she is to the kingdom. We certainly thank God for you, Bishop Candidate Elliott, our host. And we're so grateful for you and to the entire overseer, Gilbert Wilson, who's our overseer, general overseer of music, and Pastor Elder Jay, who is our international minister of music, who is listening, and to the entire music team that are on the show today. Listen, I'm excited. And when I got on, I heard you ask the question, was hymns relevant today? I mean, what's the difference between could praise and worship not get you where hymns is? I really think they're in two different categories. I think both have their own way of getting you, and each one takes you to a different place. And growing up, I did not understand the significance of hymns. I said, why are they singing these songs? Can we sing some other kind of songs? And you know, growing up in the sanctified church, you know, we would hear the churchy hymns, and going to also growing up with my mother in a Baptist church. So dad was sanctified, mama was Baptist, and had to go to both churches every week. And so understanding hearing the Baptist hymns and hearing the Kojic hymns, Kojic was a little upbeat, Baptist, you know, 'tis the old ship of Zion, you know, all of these, and bless that wonderful name of Jesus. But each one of them had their own significance, and I tell you, it has blessed me. And, you know, when I hear a good old Baptist hymn, sometimes it just, you know, I don't cry, but it'll just move me in a different way than worship. It have you to reflect over life when you sing a hymn of the church. It have you to reflect of how far God has brought you. Worship is that intimate relationship that you have with God, and you're compelled to begin to lift your hands and to go into a deeper place and to begin to talk to your God. So each one has its own way of sending you to a certain place. And so I thank God for the hymns of the church, and I certainly thank God for worship, because it's my intimate relationship with the Father. But hymns are so relevant today, because I think if people really don't understand the significance of hymns, I think hymns are moving away. It's not as prevalent as they used to be, but I always try to pull out a hymn, be it a churchy one or a old school one, as I would call them. I think they're both necessary. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Robinson. Well, Bishop Robinson just brought something out. He always takes us to another place, doesn't he? He said they're both necessary. Well, we're going to dig into that. Are we trying to hold on to something that's past? We're not saying that hymns didn't bring us over and didn't help us through, but this is 2021. So we want to ask ourselves, are we trying to hold on to something that's our past, or should we step fully into our present and into our future, knowing, yes, that helped us then, but that was then, and this is now. So we want to kind of dig into that a little bit. I want to go to Bishop Mitchell. Now, Bishop Mitchell was literally singing the praises of hymns. But Bishop Mitchell, we want to know today, do you have a favorite worship song, and modern-day worship song? And if so, can you sing us a little piece of that?
And Bishop before Bishop come, can I just say we honor you, Bishop? I didn't realize you was on the radio today.
God bless you, your
grace. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I certainly say I thank God for our presiding bishop. Amen. This afternoon, I can concur with both Minister Haley and our presiding bishop before I sing a little snippet of a little worship song. But I think the worship is relevant and equally important as hymns. But I'm going to add just a little twist to it, because whether you know it or not, a hymn can be universal, because a hymn at the right moment can easily become worship. But it's when the individual who is leading worship, sensitivity to the direction that the Spirit is carrying, a hymn can easily become worship as well. So that's why it maintains relevance even today. You ask the question, are we trying to hold on to something? The Bible says that the Lord declares that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I think sometimes we focus so much on moving methodology that we forget that there is always meaning in the Word of God. And it does not matter the method of how the Word is displayed or how it is carried out, but the relevance is the Word of God. And then when you think, and I'll even go out on a limb and say this, any music that's not the Word ought not be sung in church anyway. Well, amen.
If it's not
based on the Word, we ought not be singing it anyway, because at the end of the day, the Word is the only thing that's going to keep us and take us over. So if it's not based on the Word, we ought not be doing it. But I do have a favorite worship song that I like. And, you know, I'm not a great singer like Nelly and Somalia, so y'all, I'm just going to sing it the Mitchell way. But it simply says, you are my high strength like
yes.
No other, strength like no other, reaches to me. You are my strength
Hallelujah.
Like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me. In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up in the fullness of your grace. In the power of your name, you lift me up, you lift me up, you are my strength, strength like
yes, yes.
No other, strength like no other. Reaches to me. You are the source of my strength, and you are the strength of my life, and I lift my hands in total praise to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. That's one of my favorites. Amen. Hallelujah. You are my strength. Amen. Now, see, Bishop, you said something interesting, because when you start to go through some of those old songs, sometimes the theology was a little off. Now we would clap our heads and pat our feet, but if you go
yes.
through all the lyrics, sometimes yeah, come on, Bishop Robinson knows the truth.
Yeah.
We talking about real hymns.
What you say,
Bishop? Churches. We're talking about real hymns. We know in some churches what we called hymns was just the song we made up on the way in the door that morning. But I grew up Kojic. I grew up Kojic, and I never understood. They would sing a song talking about my mind, I done lost my mind. Now, I ain't lost. I was like, I'm very sane. I ain't lost my mind at all, you know. But
Bishop Mitchell,
yes, sir.
If you are telling the truth. And do you remember the song that we were singing? It was an old church. I mean, the old church and the old Coptic church. Do you want to go to hell? What they say?
Don't want to go to hell. Hell ain't cool. That's what they used to say. Hell ain't cool.
But
you know, and then they had another verse. I thought they were cussing in church, Bishop. I was like, oh, they cussing in church.
That's what I was about to say. It's true.
Amen. So I just don't want us to just talk as though all the old songs had it right, because some of those songs were a little bit off.
some of the new ones don't have it right either. Some of the new ones don't have it right, because I think sometimes we get to the point of trying to be so commercialized in church that we just start doing a bunch of stuff that don't make sense. So again, as Bishop says, they both have their place. They both have relevance, and a great hybrid of the two is really the holistic of what church ought to be, in my opinion. That's Bishop Mingus.
Amen.
But wait a minute, Bishop Mingus.
You jump into a point I had for a little bit later on. So just hold that thought about hybrid. Maybe that's the answer, but let's hold that for just a moment. We want to bring on right now a great friend of KDFI Radio, Bishop Covington. Bishop Covington, thank you so much for joining us on KDFI Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Bishop Candidate?
Oh, God is good. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but Bishop Covington, I have a feeling I know where you land on this topic. Are you going to tell us that you fall on the side of him?
Well, I fall on the side of worship, but I'm with Bishop Mitchell that a hymn can easily be worship if the atmosphere is right.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, will you do us the honor? That's what I was just getting ready to ask. See, we're on the same page. Bishop Covington, can you sing a little bit for us?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, we had hymns like this. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thy withdraw thyself from me, oh, where the shall I go? Remember
yes,
me. Remember
yes, sir.
Me.
Woo! Come on in there, baby.
Oh, Lord, please, Jesus, remember me. Then if somebody would break out, yes.
Watch
yourself.
Oh, yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, thank you, thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Watch your
friend. You've been my friend. You've been my friend. You've been my friend. You've been my friend. Been my friend. You've been my friend. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh,
glory. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that's the stuff I'm used to hearing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So this question was brought up. Maybe the answer is that we just need a hybrid of both. Maybe they can exist together. But here's my question. Can we keep millennials connected to the church if we are still singing hymns? Now, this is a serious question, and I want us to really give a serious answer. We know that many times when millennials come to the church, they're not looking to hear hymns. That they want to hear contemporary music. So can we, I know that we connect to that, but can we evolve our church and have our churches grow if we stay, I don't want to say stuck, but if we stay with hymns and don't move to contemporary music? And that's what I want us to talk about. Bishop Covington, you know we're coming back to you because we want some more of that. We want to go to Nellie. Nellie, talk to us. From a millennial point of view, do you think that our churches can grow and evolve if we're singing hymns when we know millennials want to hear contemporary music?
I do believe there is a way to do it. I just, coming from experience and, like, being around, you know, the baby boomer generation and the generation before us, things sometimes are done differently. We, as a millennial, sometimes we approach things differently. But if we are allowed to find our way to God, because I think that's where some friction may come in at, is if we don't, you know, sometimes we don't get to God the same way, you know, our predecessors get to God, you know, the people who could come before, if I may. But if we, I think there's a way to do it if we can be allowed to get through the way we know how to get through or how we are baited in, and still, like, the word hybrid is a perfect word to use. So that way we can all accomplish what the goal is, and that is to keep, to retain us, to retain the millennial. I mean, I was at a church growing up in my family church. We were a big church, though, and before I looked up and turned 32, 33, I'm looking around, and I'm the only one left in the church that was from my age bracket. And I'm like, what is going on? You know, I'm like, what, you know, I'm trying to figure out where everybody at and what happened, where this connect with. And so a lot of people that I spoke to who are my peers are like, yeah, the music wasn't. And I'm like, well, what if we did this? And what if we twisted and it did this and still did this? So it's, to me, I believe it can be done. We're reachable, but it has to just take some understanding on both sides. Everybody just got to be a little more understanding, a little more patient, because it, the like I said, the friction comes in when there are things that, you know, people may want done a certain way. Like, it has to, because we were just told, you got to do it this way because we said so, versus, well, why, this is probably better to do it this way if you think about this, that, and the other. So, I don't know. That's just coming from my perspective and growing up in music, period. Both of my parents are musicians. Both of them sing and play organ, and all of my siblings have gifts and talents, and they was looking at us like the Jackson 5. So I just coming up and listening to and being a part of music solely, once I was allowed to kind of add my own little spin to it, but still meant well and still had obviously good intentions to, you know, get the message across to be able to reach my peers, then there was a connection made, the bridge. I do believe hybrid is the bridge that's going to bridge the gap between millennials and hymns. But
it's a good rant. It's a rant, but it's a good rant because you said something. A little bit of a rant, but you said something good. Because you talked about baiting them in. So let's just be honest for a moment. We're gonna go back to singing. Let's just be honest for a moment, because I've seen it done so many times where the choir's up there and they're singing the contemporary music. They want to appease those that want to hear a hymn, so they'll put a little bit of a hymn in there. They'll sing a couple verses of it, and as you said before, they'll flip it and then make it modern. So you know, they'll sing the contemporary music. They'll put a little hymn in there just to say, okay, we're reaching back for a moment, and then go back to contemporary music. And I know that we've all seen that done. So come on now, let's be honest. You all have seen that done where you know, the choir
and
starts
I wanted to piggyback off of that, too, with that, Bishop Elect. I wanted to piggyback off of that because that's another thing that most millennials have lost. We have lost the content and the context of the music, the lyrics, what they mean, what they're supposed to mean. We've lost that. I can say that as a millennial. We have lost the importance of the strength that hangs on each word in our music. And so sometimes, like Bishop Mitchell said, sometimes it's real appropriate, even to bring in millennials, if you were to just sing it like it is, just going back to that old landmark, bringing it, reminding, you know, the nostalgia of it, like bringing it back, that is still effective. You know, it's still effective. But, of course, spirit-led and knowing when to do it and when to shift and when it all comes into play perfectly if the person who's conducting the service or whoever's leading praise and worship, if they are being led, for real led, the evidence will speak for itself. You know, the response of the people, you know, will speak and the spirit will take over.
Amen.
So, yes, we do definitely twist it. You know, I just want to put that out there too. Like, yeah, we definitely may switch a hymn up or switch it up a little bit or make it a little more hip or whatever per se, but sometimes the natural authenticity and rawness in the right time in the right setting is just much more effective because of the lyrics.
Amen.
And word and the word painting of it, of the lyrics of the hymn.
Amen.
May I
chime in? We want to jump to certainly.
May I chime in just for a brief moment? You know, I think the great controversy of the church is this, is that we spend so much time as millennials and as boomers and other generations trying to dispel one another than really creating a dynamic in the church that is not specifically catered to one or the other, but it is about creating a dynamic in the church for all people. And I think in the modern church, we focus so strongly on creating an atmosphere that is conducive for modern worship that we forget that millennials aren't the only ones coming to church. We forget that boomers aren't the only one coming to church. We have to begin, as I stated, to really focus on having a hybrid experience that regardless on who attends, that you're able to draw something out of that worship experience every time you attend. And there's just some things that don't need to be changed. And I'm all for change. I'm all for being progressive. But when you know, there's some music you don't need a retweet and a revamp to. It's fine just the way it is. And as Nelly just stated, I can concur. If we get away from the place of making music in ministry about performing and entertaining, then we can have a real move, whether we sing in a hymn, a contemporary song, or what have you. When we get to the place where we stop worrying about performance and production, because now I'm all for excellence in ministry, don't get me wrong in saying that, but I think sometimes we focus so much on making church a production that we forget that we ain't here, this ain't a concert you come into on a Sunday morning, but it is a worship experience. And sometimes we get so involved in trying to make church about being this entertainment experience and commercial experience that we forget that what it's about. It's about reaching souls. And if we're not reaching souls, whether we're singing Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross or where we're singing Stomp, if we're not reaching souls, we are missing the whole factor of why we are doing ministry in the first place. And so I think it becomes very integral
that we begin as people of God, people in ministry, pastors, music ministers, when we begin to focus on the point, we're not here to provide an entertainment experience, but we are here to provide a life-changing, soul-impacting experience. And whatever means we need to do that, let's utilize those means that are going to be effective. And again, as I stated, and I'll say it again, if we ain't singing about Jesus, period. I heard Nelly make a comment that that people have different ways of getting to God, and I perfectly understood what she meant by that. But I'm gonna tell you, there's only one way for everybody to get to God, and the Word said it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man coming to the Father but by me." And if we're not doing Jesus, ain't nobody going to get to God, period. They're going to leave entertained and leave still jacked up, messed up, and toe up. I'm sorry. I was on my rant, too.
But it was a good rant, though. Amen. It was a good one. Hallelujah. We want to jump to Overseer Steve Yeager for just a minute. Overseer Yeager, we keep hearing this word hybrid. But can we truly have in 2021 a hybrid? I haven't really seen the hybrid. I have seen what I talked about, which is the choir really wants to sing contemporary songs. That's what they want to do. But they want to appease some of the older people, so they sing a little bit of a hymn, and then they flip it. And then they'll sing a little piece of another hymn, and then they'll flip it. So do you think that having that hybrid service can really work, where we're really truly singing hymns and singing worship music?
Well, I do, but let me say this. I think the origin of all things, and I'm going to piggyback off of Bishop there, because I agree with the message. The message never changes. The music may change through the years, but the message has never changed. When you listen to hymns, you're hearing a story as people are talking out of their stuff. They're talking out of things that they've gone through. I don't care if it's I don't care what the origin of it is. I'm just telling you, it comes out of them living life. And when you live life, you can change the beat to it if you want to so go with the generation of today. But the message doesn't change, because these people, our forefathers, our matriarchs and patriarchs that went on before us, have gone through a lot to get us to where we are today. So we have to, I heard one of the ladies say it earlier, we've got to go back to the old landmark, and we've got to reach back there and pull that into the now. And as we pull it into the now, this is the part I want to get to. If you truly are seeking God's face and seeking who he is and what he is and what he's about, then you're going to have the creativity that is necessary, that when you get before the people, you're getting the unction from heaven and the unction from the Holy One, that when you release that to the audience and when you release that to the people, they begin to join in with what you're singing about, praying about, worshiping about. And when they get involved in that and the Holy Spirit takes over, truly it becomes an experience that I don't care if you – I'm going to say this. I don't care if you're white, you're black, you're purple, you're pink. I don't care if you're old, you're young, you're rich, you're poor, you're educated, you're uneducated. Music has the ability to move a man from despondency to a place of hope. Music has the ability to move an individual from being in a depression to a place of being having the place of victory in their lives. So that's what music does, is it moves us to that place where we begin to worship him. I'm not a singer, but I'm a worshiper. I love the Lord with all of my heart, mind, soul, and body, but I understand music is what moves it. But then I listen to the lyrics, and I begin to listen to the message of the music, and it begins to move me to that place of worshiping him. But yet I realize, if it were not for his amazing grace, I realize if it were not for the Lord on my side,
How is it that I can worship him today? How is it that I can lift up my voice to him in praise and humble adoration? For he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He didn't have to wake me up this morning, but he chose to wake me up today. And I'm grateful
yes,
to God. I'm grateful to heaven that he chose
yes,
to do that. So when I think about those songs, when I hear those songs, whether it's you and whether you have a polished voice and you're singing it, I feel like I'm singing it with you because I'm jumping into the spirit of the matter. And that's where all is birthed in and out of, is in the spirit. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Y'all was talking about all that other stuff. You was talking about the human spirit, because that's what some of them do when they're coming up in the church on Sunday. They've been partying on Saturday night and coming up in there on Sunday. That's
oh, wait a minute now.
write those songs on their way up in there. But if you've been up on the mountain, whoo, good God Almighty, if you've been up on the mountain or not before you come out in and come out before the people, you release the spirit of Christ to the people, and when you begin to release that to them, then you're reminded of a song that I remember on a Friday night in 1979. Brother Elder Cole would sing, "Sweet over my soul, sweet spirit, sweet over my soul, my rest complete as I kneel at his feet, sweep over my soul." And I would just begin to hear them sing that, and it would take me into a place of worship because I realized that's what he was doing, is sweeping over me, refreshing me, restoring me, strengthening me, energizing me, moving me to a place of, even though my money might have been funny and my change was showing up strange, I could get into that place of worship to him, and I thought I had $1 million. I thought, good God Almighty, I'm gonna yield back to you, but I think I've answered your question.
Hallelujah.
That was good stuff,
Overseer. Amen. That's some good stuff, Overseer Yeager. Amen. That's so good. Listen, I want us to end singing, but I need to ask this question before we go. Before I do that, though, we're so grateful for the music department of KDFI, led
yeah,
by Apostle Wilson and Pastor Black here. I want you to know the music department WhatsApp is on fire. They have just been talking all throughout the show, and we just thank God for you and the comments you all are making in the WhatsApp. And a lot of that is talking about, they talked about how the millennials have to be taught about him. And my question in the WhatsApp was, do they want to be taught that? Are we forcing something on them that they don't want? But it's good in there. So we thank God for Pastor Justin Black here. We thank God for Apostle Wilson and every single person in the music department. Thank you for supporting the show on today. We have two recording artists on. We have Minister Samaria Haley, and we have Nellie. I want you all to answer this question.
Three.
Is there another three. Recording artist on?
My CD comes out next week.
Who else is a recording artist?
Yes.
Bishop Mitchell, is that you making that noise?
Oh.
Do you have a record that we don't know about?
He said it comes out next week.
It comes out next week. I got six CDs that's coming out next week. Six.
You got six CDs. Okay. I think I heard about that one. Worship the Lord in the Shower. Is that what the record is called? I'm excited about that. You let us know when that drops.
It's dropping next week, I'm telling you. Go get it. Go get it while all six copies last.
Six copies. All right. Amen. Well, we thank God for you, sir. But one of the things, and again, we're going to end singing, but one of the things I wanted to ask, And I really wanted the music department to kind of get in on this. We talked about performance. And I wanted to know, are we leaning too much toward performance in terms of our Sunday services? I'm from the old Baptist church where we go in and I tell you the mothers would sit on the pews and they would just kind of wail. And really it was about getting over. It was about getting through. It was about breaking through. It was about all the pain that they were going through and breaking through and trying to get beyond the veil into the very presence of the Lord. It was about survival in a lot of ways. And so I wanted to know if we're leaning too much toward performance and personality. And so I thought that it'd be wonderful to have our recording artist to kind of lead us in on that. Are we leaning too far toward personality and performance? Minister Haley, I'm going to go to you.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. If I can, for one moment, just piggyback off of Bishop Mitchell, you know, as he started talking about people forgetting the reason of their existence. They're forgetting that their main purpose is for healing and deliverance. You know, as a millennial and as a worship leader, I've often been in services where they were so worried about who had the most runs, and, you know, they were just strictly performing, and I could tell the difference in the atmosphere versus whether they were performing or versus, you know, where they were pulling on the horns of Jesus Christ. And as young adults, you know, we are hungry. We're hungry for churches. At least myself, I'm hungry for a church that's confident in their identity. You know, as a millennial, oftentimes we forget our identity, and which is why I believe that, you know, we have often forgot about the hymns. You know, and as Levites, you know, we are minstrel Levites in the kingdom when it comes to music. And, you know, sometimes it's required that we are teachable. And, you know, it requires us to admit when we are wrong. You know, we have to listen to others. We have to accept that we still have room for growth as a leader. So I think it's, you know, to each his own, but the Holy Ghost is just what it is. You know, it doesn't lie. You can tell the difference whether someone's performing versus they're really seeking God, if they've really been in God's presence. You know, the word declares, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." So when I get to church, I don't need anyone to pump or prime me because I came in with my hands lifted. I came in with a ready praise on my tongue. I came in to exalt and praise God. And it's my job as a worship leader to command the atmosphere to make it conducive for the man of God or whomever, you know, is ready to preach or minister.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, thank you for that honest answer to that question. Amen. I want to bring some comments in from the music department. Lady Char B is saying the answer to that question is yes, yes, and yes. Sadly, that's when the sight is lost on who we are worshiping. Minister DJ Tannehill says everybody's different. Some people sing under the anointing, and some people are up there for the show of themselves. Some people have lost the sight of our main goal. Christopher Whitehead, it's a lot of performance in the church, but Jesus, put Jesus back in the church and watch God move. He's the reason we are here. Amen. And so it's so important that we are not leaning toward performance and personality. Nellie, are you back with us? Because I know her call had dropped. Nellie, are you with us? Oh,
yes,
wonderful.
I'm back.
Can you briefly answer that question? Can you briefly answer that question for us? Do you believe that for some churches that we're leaning too hard toward performance?
Certainly. I do agree with that. And sometimes when that is taking place in real time, sometimes the performances are not even good enough, and then the entire service is sabotaged at that point. And I believe that it's been strategically put in place for the music to go out first, so that way the atmosphere and the saturation of the worship is conducive for the preacher to go and be able to preach the word. And so when you have people who are not sensitive to the Spirit, who are not sensitive and alert spiritually, they want to perform or they want to do whatever they're going to do without even getting to making it to the throne room themselves, because out of my own personal experience, there's no way I'm going to try to usher other people to the throne room and I'm not going in there myself to get myself delivered first. So if I'm not exerted or if I'm not, you know, focused or delivered from whatever I may have been coming in with, you know, before ministry, and I can pray, and if I can't sing myself into a deliverance, then there's no way I can do that for anybody else. And so it's just important to keep those things in mind when you're ministering, especially coming from being a praise and worship leader. You have to remember that you are steering the ship of souls for that moment, and you have to be sure that you're steering those souls in a direction to where they can take a piece of what you sang or what you exhorted with them for the rest of the week. That is your assignment. You know, I'm not a preacher Amen. Or anything like that, but I do know that when the Spirit is burning inside of me, I say things that I don't even plan to say and do. And to be able to see someone be able to yell out and be delivered or scream or move them to tears or just to be lift their hands or just to get the weight of the world off of them just for that moment, then I know that it is beyond performing. And I know that if I can lift my hands and cry and really, really pour myself out, then I just feel that's the important thing. And you know what's crazy? The congregation can know performance. They're going to know. They might not be able to put it into words. They might not be able to, you know, express. They might just be like, what just happened? You know what I'm saying? And we've all experienced it at one point or another in our lives, especially in our church lives, where you can see when somebody's getting up there just to get up there for the heck of it, and then you'll see people with this puzzled face like, what just happened? So it's important that you want to be up front, make sure you're being led. Check yourself constantly, because I constantly have to check myself every second, every time I step on a pulpit or a platform. I'm always trying to check myself because you're going to be responsible Amen. For those souls at that moment, and you don't want any blood on your hands or anything of that sort. And so, yes, I do agree that there are people who are more into it for entertainment, and I believe it's becoming more and more obvious, and people who are not even really into music, they're starting to feel it. They're starting to see, because people really, really for real need deliverance now. People really, really for real
Amen.
Need to be saved.
So true.
People for real
it's
looking
so
for breakthroughs. And people ain't trying to hear, you know, you're not anointed, you're annoying. You know, it's just like, don't do that. Don't do that to people when we really need God in times like this, especially these last and evil days. So that's how I feel about that.
Amen. So true. Well, we want to bring Pastor Blackshear. Pastor Blackshear, are you with us?
I am here.
Amen, Pastor Justin Blackshear. We're so grateful you are here representing the music department of KDFI. Bless you, sir. Welcome back. Weigh in on this for us.
So I definitely have thoughts about the performance piece. I do believe that the millennial church and even some of the seasoned saints, especially when we're trying to reach people that are not churched, performance sometimes comes before the anointing. And it's a sad truth that is taking place in the church. And one of the things, you know, I always reference is the Bible says that a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great people. However, I always argue that text with the anointing destroys the yoke. So while it's good that you can give us a great performance and give us stage presence, because we want to see that, we want to be engaged, we want you to draw us in, but we want the anointing, because a gift is not going to change our lives. The gifting is not what's going to make me want to live holy. The anointing that's on your life is what will make me live holy. So if I see you singing and I can feel the purity of your heart and I can feel your spirit during that time, I'll know for a fact that you're moving under the anointing. Otherwise, if you're just performing, I'll say, and I've been in a few worship services with Nelly, as we've known each other for years, and we can sit and look. Some people really can see it, like, oh, y'all in the flesh. You are definitely not in the spirit, because the spirit of showmanship and the spirit of performance just shows up. They happen all around, and the people are not moved. And so if you really are not petitioning God, if you are not praying before you get up to sing, if you are not in a place to where you know that the spirit, that you can command God's presence, when you get up, you're going to be performing. And that's the truth of the matter. And it has gotten to the point to where performance has stepped in ahead of the anointing. And so we have to be able to get back to a place to where we are sanctifying ourselves before we stand before the people, not just for preaching purposes, but for singing purposes. When we get up to read the scripture, when we get up to do the prayer, we need to set ourselves apart so that when we do it, we are not standing in ourselves, but we're standing in the Spirit of God. And there's my way in on that.
Amen. That, Pastor Blackhead, that is so good. I have been desiring to do a show called Behind the Veil and just really have worship leaders talk about what it takes to minister to people and truly go beyond the veil and to get into the presence of God so that people can be delivered. And so I want us to have that at some point. If Bishop Robinson says the same and approves that, I just want worship leaders to really talk about what that takes, because there are worship leaders coming up that don't know that. And they are kind of entering into the performance piece as opposed to really knowing the purpose of ushering people into the presence of the living God. And so, Pastor Blackshear, when we have that show, if Bishop says the same, we want you to come back and talk a little bit more about what it means. You said some interesting things, setting yourself apart, sanctifying yourself before you get before the people. And so we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to that. Thank you for being such a supporter and such a friend of KDFI Radio. Before we go, I think that what we've come to, that everybody can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think what we've come to is that we both are necessary, hymns as well as worship songs, but we just have to negotiate and figure out how do we allow them both to exist in the evolving church. And I like something that was said before about, I think, Bishop Mitchell, you brought up the word hybrid that kind of excited people. And I truly hope that we can find a place of hybridity. I haven't seen it. I've seen appeasement. You know, I've seen what I mean by being appeasing is singing a couple lines of of an old hymn and the older people start clapping. You know, and next thing you know, they jump and they go to a worship song, and they try to make it contemporary, almost as though they're afraid that if we sing the whole worship hymn, the way it's been sung, that we'll lose the people. So we'll just sing a little bit here and there. And I'm just hoping, Bishop Mitchell, you brought up the word hybrid, that we can truly have that hybrid, which means giving hymns their place and not being afraid to sing the songs. Right? And then having worship songs have their place. Amen? And so as people of God, we have to go forth and try to find the balance between hymns and worship songs. I want us to end singing, but before we do, we just want Minister Haley and Nelly to briefly come and tell us where people can get their projects, and then I want us to sing out. Amen. Minister Haley, can you tell people the name of your song and where they can get it?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. My song is called Cry Loud. It was produced by Karan Titus. I believe we all are familiar with him. He's a part of the KDFI ministry. Karan Titus produced the song. This is the song that was just in my spirit during the pandemic of last year. I was just sitting home, and I just kept hearing words. And Cry Loud was basically, you know, as a worship leader, as a young lady, as a mother, an entrepreneur, you know, as women in general, we wear a lot of hats. And, you know, sometimes even though we wear many hats and people look at us as superwoman, you know, even superwoman got tired, you know. Sometimes she had to lay her cap down to the side and realize that she had to breathe. So that's pretty much what the song is about. It's a jubilee song. It's a happy song. And it's just saying, with everything within you, you know, cry loud, because we don't want a rock to cry out for us. It is on digital outlets. You can go and get it now. Cry Loud. And it was, it does feature Talisha and myself. So I was, cry loud, go get it.
Amen. You heard it here on KDFI Radio, everyone. We want you to go and get Cry Loud from wherever you purchase your music from. We're excited. Nelly, can you quickly come and just tell us where to get your single? Tell us the name and where we can get it.
Hey there, everybody. Nelly Crystal. I actually have had the opportunity to have my project jump started by a very young man by the name of Raymond King the third. He's about 18 years old. He started playing for me back when he was about 14, and God's been opening up many doors for him, and including him working with me. The name of my single is called He's Been Good. You can go on all digital platforms to download it. We're further moving forward with the complete album project. That should be dropping 2K22 of February on the 19th. So all of that will be digital as well. And the name of the song, He's Been Good, just came to me because it's basically just giving my testimony and using my testimony to encourage other people, saying, I don't know about you, but He's been good to me. You know, He saved me. He saved my soul. He set me free. And now I'm free to walk tall and fulfill what my destiny is. And then looking back over my life, I'm blessed to be me. And it's a groove. It's definitely a groove. But it's the words. I also, you know, did my best to keep the groove, to keep it attractive, but also to put some substance and some meat on the bones of my skeleton of my music. And the words mean
I
something
like that
as well. So
yeah,
please go check it out. Be on the lookout. And if you guys have any other questions, feel free to ask, and I'll be sure to, you know, answer them to the best of my ability. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nelly, I like how you said I've made it attractive, but I wanted there to be substance. That's
yes,
good.
Ma'am.
That's good. Amen.
It's important.
I'm
an advocate.
Yes. I am so looking forward to purchasing Cry Loud, and He's Been Good, and we want you all to go get it. Amen. We thank God for each
Amen.
And every one of you. I'm hoping that what we can do right now, and I know the Spirit can move and allow this to happen, but that we can just begin to sing. If one of you can lift up a song that we all know, and others can chime in and just let the Spirit move so that we can just begin to worship. Will someone lift a song that we all know? Bishop Mitchell, can you lead us in a song and then others can chime in?
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, all the blood that gives me strength,
yeah,
from day
together. It's past, oh, it reaches to the high, yes, mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley.
Yes, 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 yes.
From day to day, it will never
it's time.
Somebody take it right now.
Yes, yes. Nelly, can you?
Yes.
To the highest
mountain,
as it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength.
Yes.
From today, it will never lose. It will never lose. It
yes,
will never lose. It's high.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Nelly, would you like to go? Come on, just take it.
It reaches to the mountain.
Yes.
Mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley, where the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will the loose, oh, it will never lose, oh, it will never lose, ooh, ooh, its power, oh, never lose its power, no, no, the blood won't be there.
Never lose its power.
It will
amen.
Never
hallelujah.
Its power.
Yes. Minister Haley, would you like to bless us before we go? Hallelujah.
Sure. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
you, God.
I'm at Thanksgiving. I'll be living. Thanks and glory, Lord, for you. Can you help me say, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, oh, pure and holy,
tried and true.
Yes, thank
and
you,
with
God.
With thanksgiving,
Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes.
Love for you.
Thank you.
Sanctuary, Lord, for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are so grateful. Amen. For our international presiding bishop, Bishop Derek Robinson, who has made this possible. Bishop Robinson, we thank you for your support. Aren't we grateful for our bishop? Amen.
Yes.
We love our bishop.
Glory, hallelujah.
Bless you, sir. Amen. And we want to thank God for our guest overseer, Steve Yeager, Minister Samaria Haley, Bishop Jonathan Mitchell. Amen. And we want to thank God for Nelly. Hallelujah. We thank God for all of you. We want to thank God for our guest that dropped by, Mother Barbara Adams. We thank God for Bishop Covington. Bishop, let me not elevate you yet. Pastor Justin Blackshear, amen. We thank God for all of you and all of you who have been listening. You have been listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom people. And I want you to know on today, I believe that things are getting ready to get better. Amen. Hallelujah.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been?
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause God,
God is in
control,
y'all.
Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Within your heart.
Hold it close.
This presiding prelate, Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.